There was this emergency fire in Boyne Up, and at least one volunteer was turned away because they had were known to not have received their COVID-19 vaccination, which it is a fear that a lot of people had leading into the bushfire season and the mandate deadline sort of coming through. What do you make of this, Dave?
Well, not surprised, because we said this right from the onset. Back when we strongly urged government not to make it mandatory for volunteers, is that there is going to be a consequence down the line. So, and our concern was that they hadn't actually fully considered the consequence of mandating what they have in regards to the vaccination. So, I'm not surprised at all. Certainly from our perspective, you know, we fully support full vaccination of everybody, because it's based on health advice, that is the best advice we can give people. However, the members have made it clear to us is it's about people's civil rights and right to choose. And is it in the greater public good to not have people turn up and a whole town is burnt down, or for the sake of somebody there doing the good volunteer? And this is the thing that people forget is about volunteering, is just that, is they're spontaneous and volunteer and do the right thing to protect their communities. So I suppose, you know, there's arguments for all sides, and we hear them from all sides. We got supporters, and we've got those who are naysayers, just like the government has. So very difficult position.
At the same time, though, I mean, it was one volunteer out of dozens apparently turned up to this fire, and it was able to be brought under control from emergency level down to now it's still sitting at bushfire advice. So you could argue that this was a great example of how, although the mandate is in, it hasn't had a huge impact.
Yeah, but I mean, that's only a very small incident, isn't it? And what nobody knows what the consequence is of this on a major incident, but all we are strongly encouraging is that people still turn out and do the right thing and get vaccinated and try and keep their community safe, because the effects on the rural community is far greater than that with the metro and outer metro areas, where you've got an abundance of people, so you can afford to turn people away. But out in rural and remote areas, you might only have 5 fireys, and if only one's vaccinated, well, that's going to be a challenge. And we've had those phone calls from those areas, very concerned about what do we do. So, you know, at the end of the day, the liability and responsibility to enforce this sits with DFES and the local government concerned, not the bushfire volunteers. They've got to remember they are the volunteers, they're not the paid bureaucrats. They are there as a community member volunteering their time, and the responsibility sits fairly and squarely with the local government and DFES and the state.
What are you hearing about how many volunteers across WA between DFES and local government volunteers? And I do understand there are different sort of ways that people need to make their vaccination status known. But how many do you think across the board have either chosen not to get vaccinated or to not show proof of vaccination by this sort of 31st of December deadline?
Well, it's a very hard question to answer, because whilst the community statistics are showing 80 to 90% vaccinated, which would include heaps of volunteers, no matter what agency they're from. The proof of vaccination, for DFES volunteers rests with them, and for bushfire volunteers at the local level, they only have to advise their local government. So there's a lot of miscommunication about that. They have to bushfire volunteers have to notify DFES. Well, that's actually not true. They only have to notify and show their certificate of vaccination to their local government, and that's where it rests for bushfire volunteers. So there's a lot of misinformation going out there from some individuals. They are the facts, and that was reinforced yesterday when we met with the department and the other associations. Was the reporting lines for bushfire volunteers is only to their local government, not DFES. And so if they're hearing anything else, that that's false and misleading.
Dave Gossage with you on the Country Hour this afternoon, talking about the mandated vaccination for the volunteers across WA, but in particular bushfire volunteers, with one volunteer being turned away from a fire ground in Boyanup earlier this week. And Dave, you mentioned the meeting you had with DFIS, a COVID briefing as such. What's the latest you're hearing, aside from sort of where people need to give their vaccination status? How are you and DFIS sort of working together? And what are you hearing from them about going forward as we get closer to the 5th of February?
Certainly, from our perspective, we're still strongly encouraging everyone gets vaccinated, those that can, and if there's medical reasons, well, just get the medical exemption. That may pose a logistical challenge on the fire ground, but at the end of the day, everything's workable. From what we're seeing, as I say, the community stats are looking quite good and encouraging that we're getting up around that 80-90% range. We were just sort of reinforced the latest direction that everyone needs to get their third jab. So we'd be strongly encouraging people to consider booking in and getting that done now that the rules around that enable you to get it your third jab earlier. So that's really where we're at, and just sort of recapped on the, where we're at percentage-wise, and, DFES enforced from their perspective. If volunteers end up going to a job that they run, they will be checking people in. You only just have to, if people have uploaded the their certificate from MyGov onto their phone wallet, that's all they'll need to show. They don't need to show, don't need a piece of paper that says which doctor they had the injection from or dates that they had the injections, just to have to have be able to prove that you've or a certificate can be cited, and that's the most efficient way. They talked about the new app that's going to come out in the next couple of weeks. Will make it even easier for people to be able to just show their vaccination. So that'll be a good stat, good way of going. So,
and I mean, you've mentioned it a few times here, but the solution from your perspective going forward, with say 80-90% of vaccination rate across the state, and you would think that's reflected in the bushfire volunteers as well. I guess your solution is to simply get vaccinated and protect, be able to then protect your community.
Yeah, look, it's certainly, it comes down to a couple of factors. Is, you know, we've got to reflect the collective view, which is from the extremes of anti-vaxxers through to pro-vaxxers and everything in between. From our perspective, and based on health advice, we strongly recommend that people do get vaccinated and do get that third and potentially another dose down the track, which is something that's in the wind most probably, but certainly the best advice is to do that. But you got to understand that the difference in complexities from the metro region versus a rural and remote community. So while some people say, oh, it's only one person, well, in the metro area where you've got, say, 60 volunteers and you lose one, that's, only 59. But in a rural community where the brigade's only four, you lose one, you're down to three. And people forget the context of effect and flow on issues that evolve from that in the rural and country areas and versus the metro area. And so we need to be very mindful and unfortunately sometimes populist decisions are made rather than having a full in-depth discussion with the people that it's really going to affect on the ground. And we'd certainly strongly advise that before any decisions are made at any level of government is fully research your decision-making process and the actual consequence it's going to have to those on the ground. Because on a piece of paper it might look good, but when reality hits of those that are trying to do the right thing by their community, bureaucracy and red tape will stop them from being able to do the right thing by their community and turn people away. And what is the consequence on that on a community? And that's all we're asking, is that people engage with us and talk with us and the end users more in detail before they go out and put something in writing on a bit of paper and put out a command to control people. It's just not the way to do business, and the Ferguson report reflected on the difference between command and control and community resilience and capacity of society in WA, and it's something that I think has been lost in recent years in favour of a centralised command and control philosophy, which is going to have a big effect on community in the long run.
Dave Gossage, thanks for your time this afternoon.
Not a problem at all. Have a great day.